Welcome to Grief Share. My name is Tracy Hughes, and I have the blessing of being one of the facilitators today. My story is a little bit like yours. First of all, Grief Share is the one ministry that nobody really wants to be a part of, but reality says everybody one day will eventually need, because grief has no season. My story starts to where never had an adult life without a sick family member. But the long story short was my only brother passed away in February of 2004 from cancer. And all of my friends said the right things politically. He's in a better place. He's not suffering. God needed another angel. I don't even know what that one meant. But they said all the politically correct things. 10 months later, almost to the day on December 23rd, my dad passed away from a long bout with cancer. My friends said the same politically correct things, just with less conviction. He's in a better place. He's not suffering anymore. Then 4 years, almost to the day of losing my brother, I lost my mom to cancer after a 22-year battle on February the 13th. And all of my friends looked at me and said, "We have no idea what to say. We know that God has a plan, but because suddenly I was an orphan, nobody knew what to do. I had a niece and a nephew that my brother had from a previous marriage. So here I was, I had all this energy, I didn't know what to do, and nobody knew what to say to me. So I found out about this ministry called Grief Share, and I gotta tell you, I thought it was kind of dumb, because people sitting around talking about death, how could that really help? And when I get insecure about things, I think everything is dumb. So I came in, and the first day, we all sat around, and there were all nice people sitting around this nice little group saying nice things, but I didn't know how to handle it. But I took the risk of sharing. And once I did, everybody in the group started to share. And things I shared blessed them, but the things that they shared blessed me. So I'm surviving. I'm going through these classes. Everything is great. But here comes the holidays. They're coming dead on. They're screeching like a tire. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm all by myself. What do I do? I wanted things to be normal. But as I learned through the Grief Share class, everything had to become a new normal. So how do you take care of that? Well, one of the things I did was I helped my niece and my nephew establish their first Christmas tree, because I didn't want to set one up. Every year we would get together, and the day after Thanksgiving, we'd put the ornaments on the tree, and we would remember each ornament and how special they were, my mom, my dad, my brother, my niece and nephew. It was really great, but that anticipation was entirely too much. So we went and bought my niece a hot pink Christmas tree with bling all over it, and I bought my niece a green one with hunting stuff all over it, and got them established. But things would happen that the anticipation of the day for me is always worse than the actual day. I would be driving in my car and White Christmas would start to play. So I'd switch the radio station and it was on every single station. And I was like, "Being really, give me a rest here." So I started carrying my own CDs in my car, CDs that I liked. And when it got to be too much, I'd turn off the radio and I'd put in a CD of music that I knew could sing along with that didn't have the memory tied to it. And that's okay to do. Another thing that I did was whenever I went over to a friend's house, she was having a house opening, a housewarming, and I never put two and two together when I was going over to help her get ready. And there was the tree that had to be trimmed. And I just stood there and looked at it. So we did something very non-traditional. We put on Casey and the Sunshine Band, and we trimmed the tree hustling. For those of you under 40, that's a dance. We trimmed the tree. We did a lot of twists and turns, and we had a great time, because when it came right down to it, the whole thing was about people wanting to invite loved ones into their home and about a child who came to save the world. That child died on a cross, so one day I can see my loved ones again, because they're all in glory. Another great thing we did was whenever it came time for the big family meal, we all sat in different places than we normally did. We actually moved the table into the living room. It wasn't a hardwood floor, so we had to have the carpets clean because there was a cranberry incident. But we moved it around. We changed things up a little bit because it just helped to have a new normal. Another thing that I did was it came time for Christmas, and I just got out of town. I couldn't handle it because my niece and nephew were older. They needed to start their own traditions with their own family, so I got out of town. But I kept hearing about this grief letter, and I really thought that's kind of a dumb idea. Once again, feeling very insecure. But it came time for Christmas cards, and no one knew how to help me because it had been a while. So what I did was I sat down and I wrote a Christmas letter, the one that people write and sometimes give you entirely too much information, like they're going to go away and start a family, and you're like, ooh, too much information. But I sat down with this grief share letter, and I said, "I am okay, And this is what I'm doing this year. My best friend doesn't have a family either. We're going to get out of town. We're going to go see friends. We're going to people bop is what we call it. And we would bomb Christmas without them even know we were coming, which led to a lot more surprises. So, but I let them know how I was doing, that I was okay and that I was surviving and that I was going to be out of town, not to worry about me, that I'd be back in town on a certain date. I got more emails saying thank you. We didn't know how to ask anymore because we knew that you were just trying to survive. But what I found was the anticipation of the day was worse than the survival of the day because of what I had built up in my head. And people wanted to help, but they didn't know how to help until I asked them or told them what I needed. Things like, could we just set the table up a little bit differently? And instead of doing a red and green Christmas, we did silver and blue, and people thought it was a Dallas Cowboy party, but that was okay. But little things that were different, maybe putting your tree in a different place, maybe decorating the tree a little differently. One year I haven't put up a tree. I went and bought a glass tree that has a candle underneath it, and I light the candle up, and I sit back, and I say, oh, what a beautiful glow, and then I go about my day. The thing, too, that you need to remember is that it's okay to cry. Whether we've lost them last week or 10 years ago or 25 years ago, God gives us memories. And sometimes those memories come from other places, and you have to separate, is this an emotional memory or is this a historical memory? Emotional memories, if they're ones that bring in guilt, I just claim it right there and say, God, I am sorry that this happened. Would you please forgive me and thank you for forgiving me right now for that? And I let it go because it's emotional. But the ones I want to hang on to my heart, I write them down in a journal to help me remember because as I'm getting older, I don't remember things like I used to. A lot of that, too, is the stress of trying to survive a holiday. I don't remember things like I shouldn't and I'm used to. So I write down the things that I want to remember. But the most important thing is that in knowing to survive the holidays means to put the true reason back out there. It's not about a tree. It's not about an ornament. It's about a child who came to save the world. I used to memorize all those really positive verses like, I can do all things through him who gives me strength and things that really built me up. My favorite scripture to date is Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The thing about mourning is people don't always know what to say. They hand you a tissue. Maybe they'll say little things. They'll give you a piece of care gum going, this is how much I care, because they just want to help. But when you mourn, you're promised to be comforted. It doesn't necessarily look the way you think it should be, but it always works the way God needs it to work. And I claim that. Lord, this hurts. It hurts right now. Will you please comfort me? Yesterday was my brother's birthday. He would have been 54 years old. So my holiday survival starts on the 15th of December, trying to get through all the way to December the 24th. But what happens is, February the 24th. So what happens is whenever I'm really, really missing them, I'll drop to my knees and say, Jesus, I need you to go up and give my parents a kiss on the cheek and tell them I miss them and I'm going to be there again. Yesterday, I started my morning. I said, Jesus, I need you to get up, punch my brother as hard as you can in the arm and tell him to get busy because I know he's up there doing nothing good. It's just kind of fun because God can laugh with you. It's okay to be angry. I was mad at God for a long time. I didn't even know why I was mad. But once I said it, and lightning hasn't hit me yet by the grace of God, but the God who created that emotion, who better can handle it? Writing a grief share letter is a great thing because you can write that letter. You don't have to send it to anybody. You can just put it in a folder and mark it for the next year if that's what you want to do. You can go to a friend and say, I am white knuckling through this. I need you to sit with me. And if I take off my watch and start rubbing my arm, can you make up an excuse to get us out of there? People want to help. The anticipation of the day is worse than the actual day. You took a huge, huge step by walking in that door. And I want to say thank you for trusting us that much. You're about to grow into a group with people who have sat in that chair, who have cried tears, who have used up more tissues. I'm going to buy stock in Kleenex if I stay in this ministry. But the thing is, they just want to sit with you. We can't fix your problems. We're going to listen. We're going to pray. And we're going to tell you it is okay to feel that way because your feelings are yours. We're not going to rush you. Whether it was yesterday, 5 years ago, however soon it was. Welcome to Grief Share. We pray that you will trust us today as we move through this and that when you walk out of here, you can start your new normal with your new traditions, trusting that God has a plan for you, because he does. He hasn't orphaned you. He hasn't abandoned you. He has a place and a future for you if you'll just trust him. May I pray over you for just a minute? God, these are our fish and our loaves, and we trust you with this more than anything, because you're the provider of all things. Lord, the anticipation of the day is worse than the day of. But Lord, getting there is the hardest part. It's a journey, and we trust you with that. We love you. We thank you for your son. But most importantly, help us, Father, to speak out with the fears that we have today, because a fear is nothing more than a false expectation appearing real. Help us to speak out and to trust and to help those fears be calmed so that we can walk in a new normal. We love you and we thank you. And it's in your son's name that we pray these things. Amen.